Our scripture reading this morning will come from two different places. The first place we'll be reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 2, the very end of chapter 2, and into the first part of chapter 3. And then we'll be reading as well from the book of Revelation, chapter 15. So we'll begin this morning with Exodus chapter 2. And we'll begin reading at chapter 2, verse 23, the last three verses of chapter 2, and then the first 10 verses of Exodus 3. Keep in mind as well that in your bulletins there is an insert of an outline of this morning's message. I invite you to have that handy as well as you listen. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23, and this is the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. During that long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. And God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And so God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he hid the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, to the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up." When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses!" And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 15. Revelation, chapter 15, and be reading the whole chapter. Our verses of emphasis, of course, are verses 5 through 8. Revelation 15, beginning at verse 1. "I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath is completed. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O God, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this, I looked in heaven. The temple, that is, the tabernacle of testimony, was open. And out of the temple came the seven angels with the seven plagues. They were dressed in clean, shining linen and wore golden sashes around their chests. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as we find it in Exodus 2 and 3 and Revelation 15. Do you know what you pray for when you pray the Lord's Prayer and you pray, "Thy kingdom come"? Do you know what you pray for when you pray, "Lord Jesus, come quickly"? Do you know what you sing when you sing hymns and psalms and the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb and so many Old Testament psalms which are in our hymnals? So often when we pray and worship, we have in mind God's intercession, God's grace that we pray would be given to us. But do you know that when you pray and worship and sing, you also are setting in motion God's wrath? To understand our passage this morning, you must be reminded of previous visions in the book of Revelation. We have looked at two particular visions, and this morning we begin the third. The first vision we saw, or one of the first visions of wrath that we saw, was the vision of the seven seals in Revelation 6 through the first part of chapter 8. We also heard the sound of the blast, the trumpet blast of God in the seven trumpets in Revelation 8, 6 through the end of chapter 11. And now as we come to chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, we come to the vision of the seven bowls, another vision of God's wrath. But in our recapitulation approach to Revelation, we have pointed out that each particular vision is a description of the wrath of God coming upon the earth at the same time in history. So, the period described in the seven seals is the time between Christ's first coming and His return. The period described in the seven trumpets is between Christ's first coming and His return. And now, as we turn the page into Revelation 16 and the vision of the seven bowls, keep in mind again that the same time period is in view. The time period between Christ's first coming and His return is described in the seven bowls of God's wrath poured out upon the earth. But this morning, as we find ourselves in Revelation 15, and in particular in verses 5 through 8, we are in a transition verse. A transition verses that describe for us a transition of what leads into the vision of the seven bowls of God's wrath. And as you look at these verses, you will see similarities, similar vocabulary, similar images to what preceded the two previous visions of God's wrath, the seven seals and the seven trumpets. And each of these transition sections fills in the picture of what really goes on in those verses and in your prayers and in your praise. Let's go back, first of all, to Revelation chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 5, the chapter which comes right before the opening of the seven seals in Revelation 6, John tells us in that chapter that he has in his right hand, verse 1, he sees in the right hand of Him who sat on the throne, God's throne, a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with the seven seals. We said in Revelation 5 that this seal is connected to the book of Daniel, in which the scroll is rolled up where the Old Testament revelation has been completed, and they are waiting for someone to come and bring about the redemption of God and the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies and to set in motion God's redemptive plan. So John looks in verse 2 and he sees a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and to open the scroll? Who is worthy to bring about this redemption and to set in motion the redemption of God?" Verse 3, "But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it." And so John in verse 4 weeps and weeps because no one was found who is worthy to open the scroll or look inside. But one of the elders said to him, verse 5, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." This Lion from the tribe of Judah is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. This Lion, who is the Root of David, is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, who comes to earth, who will bring about this glorious redemption with the power of a lion. But in verse 6 of chapter 5, we read how this redemption comes about. As John hears about the power of the Lion, he turns in verse 6 and he sees a lamb. A lamb that had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. God would bring about this redemption through the powerful Lion, through the means of a lamb. For God's Son would die on the cross. He would pay for the sins of His people. He would fulfill the Old Testament prophecies and sacrifices, and He would begin the redemptive fulfillment plan of God, the salvation of His people, the salvation of His church, until He comes once again. And so, verse 7, the Lamb takes the scroll from the right hand of the Father who sat on the throne. And when He had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And look what each one has. Each one has a harp, and they're holding golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, and they sing a new song. Notice the similarities with Revelation 15. We have harps mentioned. We have golden bowls mentioned. We have a song which is sung by the redemptive saints of God who have been redeemed from their sins. We have all of these similar images that we have seen in Revelation 15 already put before us in Revelation 5. And it leads to what takes place in Revelation 6. For in Revelation 6 verse 1, John watches as the Lamb opened up the first of the seven seals. And as the Lamb opens the seals, God's wrath is unveiled upon the earth. But you notice that inside the golden bowls, which are full of incense, are the prayers of the saints. What does that mean? How is this transition more fully revealed to us later on in the book? These images that we find in Revelation 5 are also found in Revelation 8. For as you look at the very end of Revelation 7, again we have salvation songs. Salvation songs of praise of God's redemption that took place through the Lamb. And the saints are singing those songs in heaven. And then as you move to chapter 8, we have the opening of the seventh seal. And there was silence in heaven for half an hour. And John sees verse 2, seven angels who stand before God. Remember the seven angels in Revelation 15 that are holding the bowls of God's wrath? These seven angels in Revelation 8 are standing before God, and they are given seven trumpets. And as these angels are about to sound the trumpets of God's wrath throughout the world, we read in verse 3 through 5 a transition. Another angel who had a golden censer, a golden vessel mentioned again. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire, and he hurled it to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake, and the trumpets are sounded in the following verses and chapters. What this transition verse shows for us, what it fills in from what we saw in Revelation 5, is the role that the prayers of the saints play in the sounding of God's wrath. For here are the prayers of the saints before the altar in heaven, on the golden altar of incense, that go up before God and before His presence. And now these angels take some of the incense from the altar and they hurl it to the earth. For the saints of God are crying up to Him, praying for His justice, praying for God to redeem them from their oppressors, for the persecutions that they endure in this world because of their faithfulness to God. And God responds to those prayers by setting in motion His wrath and judgments upon the earth. We saw in the seven seals and the seven trumpets, how this wrath and judgment is unveiled even upon the earth in which we live today. These prayers set in motion earthquakes and famines and wars and pestilence and diseases, death all across the earth in response to what the unbelieving world and the dragon and Satan have brought upon God's people and their cries up to Him. And when you pray and when you sing, God responds in the world with His wrath and judgment upon it. But now as we come to Revelation 15, these transitions that we see in Revelation 5 before the seven seals and Revelation 8 before the trumpets, this similar language, this similarities between them is brought out again in Revelation 15, and the picture is unveiled before us even more. Notice again this morning the structure of Revelation 15. Revelation 15 begins with an introductory verse. John sees in heaven another great and marvelous sign. He sees seven angels with the seven last plagues, last because with them God's wrath has been completed. There's the seven angels again. There's now this time mention of the seven plagues. But before we hear more about the plagues, verse 5, and the seven angels, John sees another picture. The structure of the chapter and what the author is about to say is interrupted in verse 2. There's one more thing you need to see before we hear about these angels and before we hear about these plagues. John looked and saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing before the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast and over his image and over the number of his name. And they held harps, and they were given to them by God, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. And the words of that song are given. Do you see the similarities with the previous portions of the book of Revelation? Do you see the mention of the harps again a third time? Do you see the songs that are being sung, the songs of victory, the songs of God's people? Do you see the picture of the redeemed of God in heaven as they are singing this song? And do you see why they sing? At the end of verse 2, we're told why. Because they have become, through God's grace and deliverance, victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name. You see, what has been revealed to us between the previous two visions, the visions of the seals and the visions of the trumpets, what has been revealed to us in between that and now this third vision of God's wrath, the vision of the seven bowls, is what has been taking place to the church on the earth. In Revelation 12 and 13, we were given the vision of the beast, the beast of the sea, the beast of the earth. We know that the dragon, Satan himself, is the power behind those beasts which exist in this world. These beasts which seek to persecute and turn against the faithful believers of God who seek to draw them in to their kingdom, who demand that they worship earthly things and earthly people and earthly powers and carry the number of their name or lest they suffer. And the redeemed in heaven and the redeemed on earth, whose souls are already in heaven, are singing the song of victory, singing the song of deliverance. They are singing praise to God and giving Him the glory for the deliverance that He has given them through the Lamb. And notice the words of the song. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O God, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. God's justice, God's truth, God's holiness will be revealed. And the saints on earth now and the saints in heaven are singing that song as they sing the song of victory of the Lamb and as they sing the Old Testament Psalms and as they give praise unto God. But you say to yourself, where's the prayers? In the previous sections, Revelation 5 and 8, we read of the prayers of the saints. But remember what is mentioned in our text. We have Moses mentioned. We have a Red Sea mentioned, a sea of glass mixed with fire. We have plagues mentioned. And as we read this morning from the book of Exodus, as God revealed Himself to Moses, God tells Moses very clearly before the Old Testament redemptive process began, that the reason He was sending Moses to deliver His people is because the prayers of the saints for the oppression that the beast Pharaoh had brought upon them, those prayers were rising up to God. Those cries were going up to God because His people were enslaved, because His people were oppressed, because His people were suffering, and God sent Moses to deliver them. And upon the land of Egypt, He sent plagues, upon the land of Egypt. He sent the angel of death upon the land of Egypt. He led his people through the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army was destroyed in that sea. And Moses led the people in a song of victory, as the song of victory in heaven is sung by the saints of God there and on earth. But we still have here, you see, some transition verses. Transition verses in Revelation 5 through 8. And like the previous two sections, this section reveals to us something more than what has already been revealed previously. John looks in verse 5, and in heaven the temple, that is the tabernacle of testimony, was open. Again, John is using Old Testament language. You know the structure of the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. You know that God's presence was in that tabernacle area, especially in the Holy of Holies. And no one, when the cloud came upon it, dared enter the Holy of Holies, lest they fall dead under the judgment of God, entering His presence as sinners. But John looks now into the heavenly tabernacle, not on earth a shadow. He looks into the real tabernacle in heaven. And he looks inside it because it's opened. And out of the temple in verse 6 come seven angels with the seven plagues. And these angels are dressed in clean, shining linen, and they wore golden sashes around their chest, qualifying them for serving in the presence of God and in the presence of His holiness. And then, verse 7, one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls filled with the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. You thought the seven seals were bad. You thought the wrath of God upon the earth, as it is revealed in terms of the seven trumpet blasts, were intense. What is pictured for us here in Revelation 15 is the wrath of God, which comes directly out of the presence of God Himself in heaven. Out of the tabernacle, out of the Holy of Holies. His wrath is being given to these angels as they are sent out through the earth. This isn't just a censer filled with incense, which the angel hurls across the earth, and this wrath and judgment is sprinkled throughout the earth. What is described here is the wrath of God coming directly from the throne, directly from His presence and holiness, and the angels who carry it are bringing it about upon the earth, even as we sit here today. And this wrath of God is being poured out in these bowls upon those who reject God and the worship of Him. And as John looks in verse 8, and he sees the temple filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, no one could enter the temple until the seven plagues and the seven angels were completed. This is the final vision of God's wrath. This isn't the sound of warning anymore, as we heard in the trumpet blasts. But as we begin in the coming weeks to look at the seven bowls of wrath being poured out upon the earth, we are seeing the foreshadowing of the final judgment of God. As the plagues came upon the Egyptians, no Egyptian turned unto the true God and came to believe. Their hearts were hardened, and the plagues which they suffered were the beginnings of the final wrath of God. And what set this in motion? Remember how John structures this chapter. It starts out describing the plagues and the seven angels, and then at the end of the chapter, he comes back to it. But sandwiched in between is the picture of the redeemed. The redeemed that are singing praises to God. The redeemed that in previous chapters are praying to God and crying out to Him for His deliverance and for His justice to be done, in particular because of what the beast and Satan and all his powers have done to them. And God responds. He is not silent. God responds to those prayers. I've said this before, and I'll say this again. So often when we watch the news and we hear about what's taking place in the world, this disaster here, this earthquake, this thunderstorm, this war, this hurricane, this plague and disease, all the information is given to us apart from God and apart from His church. But what the book of Revelation is telling us here is it's all about the church. The reason those things happen, the reason God's wrath comes upon the earth in those forms, is in response to what is taking place according to the church. It is in response to what the church suffers. It is in response to the prayers of the church and the worship of the church. On your outlines this morning, under Part C, I put for you what our catechism teaches us concerning the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Kingdom Come. In the second petition, which is Thy Kingdom Come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. In a moment, we are going to sing a psalm, Psalm 22. The words that we sing say, "The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship Him as God alone. All earth to Him her homage brings, the Lord of lords, the King of kings." God's people crying out to Him in worship. God's people praying and worshiping Him because of His intercession and grace which He has given to us. But also, as the book of Revelation tells us, God's people crying out to Him in worship, calling out for His justice, for His truth to be known, for His holiness to be proclaimed upon the world, for people to come and recognize that this is Him and He at work and His wrath, and to turn unto Him for salvation. But one more thing about our text that you must see. You notice that what is used, the vessel used, is a bowl. a golden bowl. We saw in the first vision what preceded it, a golden bowl of incense. In Revelation 8, we were told about a golden censer. But now we are introduced to the golden bowl, followed by the golden bowls of God's wrath. Why a bowl? When you go to the very last description of the seventh bowl in Revelation 16, we are told that in the midst of that seventh and final pouring out of that bowl, another vessel is mentioned in verse 19. The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed, and God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the wine of the fury of His wrath. A cup is used for drinking. A cup is filled in this verse with the fury of God's final, and in this seventh bowl, His final judgment and destruction. But bowls are shallow. They are used for transportative purposes in Revelation 15 and in the first visions of the bowls. The bowls transport God's wrath carried by the angels throughout the world. But the bowl is still not the final wrath of God until the cup, the final cup, is poured out upon the enemies of God for their destruction. In Revelation 15, the redeemed are pictured. But the redeemed are sinners too. The redeemed deserve God's wrath for their sin. But the Lamb of God drank the cup of God's final wrath for them on the cross. His disciples wanted to go with Him, and Jesus said, "Can you drink the cup that I drink of?" They said, "We can," and He said, "You do not know what you are asking." God's wrath fell upon Him so that the redeemed have been delivered from their sins, so that though they may suffer while living on earth some of the effects of these plagues, their souls are safe in heaven with Him, singing His praises and glory forevermore. As you read these verses, as you reflect upon the prayers of the saints and the songs of the saints which you sing, you are reminded that you belong to the redeemed, that those who have not followed the beast of the earth, those who have not worshipped His image and lived according to His ways, those who have been faithful to Christ and live their lives for Him, they are part of the redeemed. And no worry of God's wrath coming upon them. This is why we pray, "Thy kingdom come." This is why we pray, "Lord Jesus, come quickly." This is why we sing the song of the Lamb, because we give praise for the redemption of God and the knowledge that His justice will be made known upon the earth. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can reflect upon these verses in Revelation 15 and be reminded of the power which you have given us and equipped us with. For Lord, our prayers are heard by you. The songs of praise that we sing are heard by you. And you respond to them, O Lord. Father, do not let us think that you do not hear us. Do not let us fall into thinking that you are not active and present in this world. But remind us, O God, how powerful it is being a saint in prayer and in praise to you. Father, we rejoice in the grace that was given to us in Jesus Christ. We know that we are no better. We know that we deserve your wrath as much as anyone. But Lord, our Savior has taken that wrath upon himself. And we look to him in faith and know that he has saved us and delivered us from that wrath. And that is why we sing of our praise and prayers to him, because of his grace which has been given to us. Father, as we live in this world, as we are surrounded with all kinds of temptations and troubles, enable us to be faithful to the Lamb. Enable us to live according to your word. Enable us to devote all our thoughts and time and praise to the salvation you have given to us through him. And Father, as your wrath is revealed upon the earth, may you enable us to speak of you that others may come to know the salvation we hold so dear. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.